Other refuge have I none. You know, we enjoy our homes. We consider that a place of refuge, but it's a temporary. It's a God-instituted refuge. But our true eternal refuge is in God alone. I invite your attention to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Be reading the complete chapter. Be reading in the New King James. And as we read through here, I'd just like for you to respond after the reading. What are some nuggets? What are some lessons that we can learn from this passage? I have a few of them. Won't be covering all of them, but just sort of what can we get out of this portion here. 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, Not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worship the Lord there. So I'm not sure, just in reading the story here, to me it's a pleasing story. But what are some lessons that we can learn from this portion of Scripture? Do we have any input? I'm sorry?
Two women in
one household. Okay, that's what I thought of, the dysfunctionality of polygamy.
Perseverance in prayer.
What was the last phrase? Poured her heart out to the Lord.
Rather than retaliating.
Okay, rather than retaliating. Good.
Mm-hmm. And when Eli told her that your request would be answered, she quickly, when she went to age, she believed that God would do it.
Mm-hmm. It's an act of faith. Any others that you see? Children are of the Lord. Amen. Okay, well, thank you for that. I noticed that too. Two women are too many in a household. And we praise the Lord for the one that's in our houses. There are especially two things that I noticed. That worship is always a proper response, regardless of the situations that we're in. That's the one lesson that I got. And the other one is the need to pray for our children even before they're conceived, as well as ongoing intercession for our offspring. Notice in verses 9 through 11 where Hannah, how she poured out her soul to the Lord, says she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Now often, sometimes we look at that and we say, now, is that worship? And I say, yes, it is a form of worship when we come with lament, with pouring out our soul to the Lord. And I think it's a part of making ourselves, probably not making ourselves vulnerable to the Lord, it's simply acknowledging our vulnerability, because the Lord knows it already. But I think it is pleasing to the Lord when we acknowledge, this is what I'm struggling with. And we don't come with thoughts of anger or making statements against God, but sometimes we simply don't understand how God is working, and we come and just pour out. And I think David in the Psalms does that a number of times. Lord, why are you forsaking me? And so on. And he doesn't understand, but often it concludes with, yet he recognizes God for who he is. And so I think a prayer of lament is definitely a part of worship. And I also notice that when Eli realized the situation, that the woman was pouring out her soul to the Lord, and he said, "The God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." She went her way, she ate, and she wasn't sad. She believed. And I think it was a word from the Lord through Eli. She accepted as, this is what will happen, and I accept it by faith. And I like the verse 19, it says, they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. And I think it was a different form of worship than the lament that had been prior to this. I think this was more of a worship of gratefulness, of thank you, God, for the way that you will answer. and they went home. And then, sometime later, a son was born, and they named him Samuel. Now, the prayer for this child had been ongoing, I don't know for how long, before he was ever conceived. And I think the Lord honored those prayers, even before conception. And so Hannah's request was, I won't go back to the tabernacle until the child is weaned, until it's old enough to stay with the priest. Now, I don't know exactly how old, but it says the child was young. And later in chapter 2, it says that his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And so Hannah is leaving her son in a less than ideal situation with Hophni and Phinehas here at the tabernacle. They're immoral. They're taking advantage of people's offerings that they're bringing. And it says, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. And yet, this was what Hannah was giving back to the Lord. She recognized, what was given from the Lord, I need to give back. And she left him there. And I think the prayers of parents have a powerful impact on how useful or the direction that our children will take. Yes, they make their own decisions, but let's not undervalue the power of intercessory prayer for our offspring. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. A number of us are right in the middle of parenting, and how do we appropriately release, you know, and just give them to the Lord? And, you know, I don't have all the answers for that, but I think there are lessons that we can learn from this. The power of prayer, as well as remembering that our children are the Lord's. We want to be responsible in teaching and training and giving direction, influencing them towards the Lord. But ultimately, it is the Lord who draws hearts to himself. And so they worship the Lord there. And shall we continue to do that this morning? Invite you to kneel in prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, this morning we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning I don't know the hearts of everyone that are here this morning. Are they in anguish of soul, or are they walking in faith and victory and praise? And Lord, regardless what our situation is, we come to you and acknowledge you as God, and we worship you for who you are, knowing that your promises are true and faithful. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Your grace is always sufficient. And so, Lord, we just bow our hearts with confidence and in humility, knowing that you are here, and we worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I thank you for the children that you have given here at this church. And I just pray that you would direct each one as they grow up and mature. Help them to make choices that are honoring to you. Lord, we want to do our part in interceding, in teaching, in training. And just recognize that ultimately it is you who draws. It is your work that these young people will grow up to be godly men and women. So, Lord, we just commit this service to you. Glorify your name. You alone are worthy of our worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.